Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Godly Sense. I am your co-host, Gabby, and
Emily.
Yes.
And today we're going to be talking about the things that we normalize. And we said things, we were kind of like debating on if we should have been more specific, like saying the sins that we normalize, the habits that we normalize. But we ultimately settled on saying the things that we normalize because we want to talk a little bit about sins, habits, just things that us as believers normalize. So,
yeah. We just never know where to start ever.
Like, yeah.
Okay, so, I really wouldn't know where to begin.
I'd like to always start
with
the vacuum cleaner being quiet.
Oh yeah, your vacuum cleaner.
Your vacuum cleaner. We apologize. I think they're cleaning the.
We apologize for doing their job. No, I'm just kidding.
What the? Okay, I always like to start by sharing my own personal experience of how God has changed my mindset when it came to certain habits, certain sins that I didn't consider sin. I considered it an oopsie, a boo boo.
Hey, best friend.
They literally said that this past Sunday. But the certain things that I normalized as a believer and the things that I believed, that weren't necessarily sins. It wasn't a sin. And so I just felt like that was a right for me to do it, even though it wasn't pleasing God's heart. And so I guess I'll start because I usually do.
Boo. No, just kidding.
So something that I would normalize a lot growing up in church
is being a big bag.
Be for real. Guys, is being a big bag a sin? The things we normalize, being a big bag. No, but what was I saying? Oh, something that I normalized growing up in the church as a believer was believing that me serving God and working hard and living my life as a servant was the very thing that would get me into heaven rather than knowing the voice of God and knowing his heart. So that's one thing that we normalize. I think as a church, like, we see that the need and the heart of an individual who loves God with all their heart. All they want to do is be involved. All they want to do is be at church. All they want to do is serve God because they love God. But then they get entangled into this trap of never knowing when to say no.
Yeah.
So being a people pleaser, that's something that we normalize as believers. Saying yes to everything, being a yes man, saying this, saying that. When God did not tell you to say yes, God told you to say no. God said to say no to going on the date with that guy. And you went anyways. Oh! The things we normalize.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, for me, that was, like, a big thing, too. Like, getting into, I guess, just, like, when you're getting older or, like, you're young, but, like, you're...
Well, we're both kind of pushing. I'm just kidding.
But, like, yeah, just learning how to say no, but also, like, learning that it's okay to say no when it comes to things. Obviously, we're not talking about, like stop serving. Like, no, but, like, there's one thing to make that your identity rather than doing it with the Lord and doing it for the Lord. But I think one of the things that we don't also realize is that we're doing it with him. Like, we're serving.
Yeah.
You know? And so.
Yeah, I think we get trapped in this thing when it comes to people pleasing, especially as believers, because we know that our greatest commandments are to love God with all that we are, but to also love his people as we would love ourselves.
Yeah.
I think we forget the end part as we would love ourselves. Like, you can't serve someone the best of your abilities when you don't know the love that God has for you firstly. And a big trap that we fall into as believers, like when it comes to people pleasing, and that being something that we've normalized, saying yes to everything, saying yes to serving at every event, and yes, God, I'm on fire for you. I want to do everything, and I want to do all these great things for you. But never asking God if that's truly where he wants you to go and what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
Because there may be a multitude of things that you are not cultivating well because you don't know the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads me into the verse that I have prepared mm-hmm. for you guys here today.
Yeah.
1 Samuel 15 says, "What is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifices or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft." Oh my God. "And stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king."
Bye.
Do you see what his word says? Rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft, and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. Disobedience.
Yeah.
Is something that we normalize in the church.
Yeah. Or as well as like justifying it.
Yeah, justifying it.
Like feeling like it's valid for you to not forgive, or it's valid for you to not extend grace. Like it's valid because they did this.
Yeah, but like, hurt me. They did this to me.
Yeah. I mean, it goes so many ways. It goes with like, I mean, just disobedience as a whole is just, it's against the Lord, and it's what he doesn't like, right?
Yeah.
Disobedience. Did I say obedience? Or I said disobedience?
I think you said disobedience.
Okay. Disobedience. Yeah, I just want to clarify. Guys. Disobedience, guys. Not obedience. But yeah, just not being obedient to the Lord, but also like, obviously there's a deeper root of it. Like mm-hmm. we feel like it's justified. Because either this person did this to me, or just because I feel like it, you know?
Yeah.
I've been like, I don't know. I would point this out. I have heard people use their past as a reason why they are the way that they are.
Yeah.
As in, like, why I'm not being obedient. Like.
Yeah. Why? Well, God is prompting them. God could, because God prompts all of us to extend grace and to forgive. But when God is prompting them, their excuse is, well, they did this to me in the past, and this is why I am the way that I am.
Yeah.
Like,
bro, you know how many times Jesus could have done that? Like, he could have done that so many times, countless times, but he didn't. And, like, I think that that's one of the things that we have to realize is that his word is still his word regardless. Like, yeah, we're not saying this because it's easy. We're not saying this because it's, like, we're those kind of people. Like, no, like, I've been convicted in my disobedience with the Lord. Like, even, like, I'm going to tell this story. So, basically, I remember I was driving home one night, and I don't know where I was, like, there's just something that was pulling in my heart. And I just felt like I needed to pull over, and I drove into this outside this Best Buy, and there's no cars there. Mind you, it's late at night. There's no cars there. And I parked. And I was just praying, and I was just, there's just like this weird tug that I'm feeling. And I was praying, and then I told the Lord, I was like, God, what are you wanting me to do? Like, I know there's something that you're wanting me to do, but I don't know what it is. And the way that this, like, I always tell this people, like, I don't feel like I verbally hear the Lord, but I really do feel him speak over me. And it was just like this interruption of like, you need to extend forgiveness, and you need to apologize. And I was like, what? This happened like months ago. What are you talking about? And then he was like, yeah, you need to do it. And there was just like that heavy conviction of it, which is something that would have never came across my mind. Like, it's just an interruption like happened in my mind, and it was just that memory.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord just saying, you need to forgive. And I was like, bro, okay. So in that moment, I messaged the people I needed to message, and I just told them, like, it just, you know, apologizing. And it's crazy because also sometimes I want to be honest, and I want to say, like, sometimes I doubt, like, is that really God? Mm-hmm. Is he really speaking to me? But I really was inclining to be obedient, And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it because at the end of the day, it's biblical. It's right for me to do so. Yeah. If I have a grievance against another brother, like my job is to forgive and it is to extend grace and is to ask for forgiveness as well. And so I did that. The next morning, the sermon, Pastor Andrew, during like one of his sermons, I can't tell you what the sermon was about, but he had this point of his sermon where he was like, some of y'all are going to have to call some people that you need to apologize to. And I was like, okay, thank you. You know what?
Yeah.
I was obedient. If I was disobedient, that would have pulled me to extend forgiveness, but I would have had to done it the second time after God told me.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Like,
Yeah. I think we forget like how sweet obedience to the Lord is and that we can find joy in that.
Yeah.
Because this is the one thing that I've learned about the voice of God when he speaks and if I'm questioning if it's him or not. If it's something that I would have never prompted myself to do, something good, something that is backed up by his word that I would have never prompted myself to do, then I just know that it's God. And if it's something that's humbling, then I know that it's God. Yeah. Because most of the time, it's something that I don't want to do. It's something that I'm fighting against. It's something that I'm making excuses for because he said, she said, they hurt me, they did this. And knowing that if it's prompting in my heart or if there's a tug at my heart to, hey, be so low that you can be the one to go to this person and humble yourself enough to apologize even if you did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Or even, like, that is what it's about.
The point is that you have a grievance with the brother. Like, there's like, what is it? I don't know what the word is. Just this, like, disagreement in, like, maybe, like, most of the time it's just with, like, malice intent, you know? Mm-hmm. Just the root of it is not good.
Yeah.
And all that the Lord requires of us is go make that wrong right.
Yeah.
Because In the biblical times, you weren't able to give an offering if that was the case. Like,
exactly.
And they want to enter worship. Like,
yeah, we're like, Jesus, we love you. We love you. Okay, go say sorry. Go apologize.
Which is so, like, it's so real. And, like, I've felt convicted of that so many times. Like, how am I going to sit here and, like, be like, everything's okay, but at the end of the day, I'm holding a grudge with my neighbor. Like,
exactly.
It's just not right.
The reality is, and this is something that we've just really, I think, normalized as believers in this generation, is that we can love God, but it's hard to love his people. But you cannot love God without loving his people. Because if you love what God loves his people.
Yeah.
He loves his people so much. He did all of this because of his people. And we cannot love God without also loving his people.
Yeah.
And you know, there's us as human beings, we have our own limitations on that love. But for God, it's so vast. It's so wide. Like, we should be the ones to be able to extend that type of love to everyone, even if they've wronged us, even if they've done this or done that to us or whatever the case may be. I wanted to touch on obedience and sacrifice a little bit.
Okay.
Like, going back to the verse in 1 Samuel, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice or your obedience to his voice? So focusing on that piece a little bit. Recently, and this is really recently, I've been brought to a point where I had to make a decision and I heard the voice of God about what he was telling me to do, but I questioned it because something that he was telling me to let go of was something good. Something good. You know, it's not a bad thing. It's something good that I know God was, you know, delighted in. And so I began to question him. I began to question God. Well, God, why are you telling me to let go of this very thing if it's something that's good to you? Like, it's something that's good, Lord. Do you not delight in it? Are you not well pleased in it? And I'm led to this very scripture and I'm led to this very story of when the Lord told Saul to destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul insisted and he said, I carried out the mission he gave me. I brought back King Agag. Agag? But I destroyed everyone else. Then my troops brought in the best of the sheep, goats, cattle, and plunder to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. But Samuel replied, what is more pleasing to the Lord, your burnt offerings and sacrifice, or your obedience to his voice? Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. How much more pleased is the Lord in your obedience to his voice? Because to him, that means you know what his voice sounds like when you obey it and you walk with it. And I realized what I was doing whenever I was asking God, well, God, isn't this something that's good? Isn't this something that, you know, was pleasing to you too? Like, why are you telling me to let go of this? And going back to scripture, when his word also says, or this is what the Lord actually told me. He's like, do you want to get to heaven? And for me to tell you, depart from me, for I never knew you, because you did not hear my voice. You came to me and you told me, Lord, I did all these good things for you. I laid out all these good things. These were all the good things that I did for you. This was good. This was good. This was good. It glorified you. But you did not obey my voice. So did you really know me?
Yeah.
Did you really hear me? And something that God's just been pressing me on, and Pastor Andrew, we're going to reference him a lot in this episode, I guess. So hopefully he's listening. Hey, shout out, Pastor Andrew. something that has been prompted in my heart just as of lately, just pressing, and like I said, Pastor Andrew mentioned this, is for us as a generation to not seek the hand of God, but to seek his face. And in that, in obedience, is knowing his voice, and in his voice is seeking his face.
Yep.
Because we know what he sounds like. We know what his heart wants. And it doesn't always look the way that we want it to look. It doesn't always look like screaming, crying, throwing up. It looks like knowing what his word says and knowing who he is.
Yeah.
As a person, as the dwelling place.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of when I was playing at a service at Strong Tower, and Olivia Buckles gave the word, and she kind of points this verse out. Where is it at? Oh, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, and it says, according to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one is to be careful how he builds on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than what has been laid down. That foundation is Jesus Christ. And then it continues to say, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become obvious. For the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And so, like, it's kind of touched my heart. She was just touching on just, you know, what's been happening at her church has allowed her to see, like, the foundations that she's laid upon that haven't been necessarily God, you know, like you were saying, it's not, it wasn't a bad thing,
mm-hmm.
but that conviction of, like, but no other foundation other than Christ himself can be laid, you know, and just kind of like, that's what it reminded me of. Just the Lord bringing us back to him, that he is the foundation ultimately, you know.
Yeah.
Regardless if it's like a good or bad thing. I think it's just like that the Lord just telling us that no other foundation can be laid.
Yeah.
You know, but.
It really makes you question too, because if you're fighting, if God is telling you to do something and you're fighting it so much,
mm-hmm.
like it brings you to even question your own motives, why you're fighting so hard to not let it go and not surrender it to him.
Yeah.
And within this question that, or within this decision that God was leading me to make, when I realized that I was questioning him, even though I already knew the answer, and I was doubting what he was telling me, it made me realize what, almost like what idol I had made out of this very thing that he was telling me to let go of. And so I think another thing that we've normalized as a church is putting a ministry at the forefront of who we are and building our identity off of that very thing, a ministry, what we do at church, how we serve, and we've made that the center rather than Jesus.
Yeah.
Rather than him being the ultimate treasure, rather than him being the very thing.
The source.
The source.
Yeah.
And it hurts to see, mm-hmm. because all that brings forth is a generation that is only equipped with hype. They're only equipped with a sound, a song, a feeling. Yeah. They're never equipped knowing what the source
their of all passion of this is. Yielded by dopamine.
Exactly. What is it? Do not lack diligence and zeal. Yeah. Be fervent in the spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be persistent in prayer. Serve with the saints in their needs. And pursue hospitality. Y'all, we got it, period. But that's literally the very thing. Like, the source is all messed up.
Yeah.
And what's even sadder to see is that it's almost like we're blinded by it, yeah. because we're on autopilot to just show up to church, to come to the 9 o'clock service. We're serving one, we're sitting one, we're serving one, we're sitting one every Sunday. Like, it's almost like autopilot at this point,
mm-hmm.
that it's so easy to forget why you're even here in the first place.
Pilot.
I know she was not listening to what I was saying because she was literally about to laugh this entire time.
Okay. I'm listening.
But anyways.
It's almost like we're in autopilot.
Yes. Yeah. It's like we're on autopilot. Yeah. So I think, you know, another thing that we just normalize is this lack of awe that we don't remain in.
Yeah.
Constantly. With him being the source.
Yeah.
Literally autopilot.
I think one of the things as well, I mean, we're gonna go through like different things that we've just been feeling recently as the things that we when we say we mean like the church just kind of normalizes this. I think one of the things that we tend to normalize is like just a lack of gratitude, like as in like Duran was doing worship this morning. I mean, not this morning. Sunday morning, sorry. Sunday morning. And he was just like, just telling the congregation that he's just been convicted of when he wakes up, the first thing is getting his phone.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing isn't, Lord, thank you for another day, you know. And that's for me, it's a little different. Only because I love what Stephanie says. She says, there's things that we used to do out of religion that we now do out of love, yeah. which that part for me is really true because I grew up with my parents telling me, you cannot touch your phone if you haven't prayed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would pray with the anticipation of getting my phone.
Waiting on him, yeah.
Yeah, so I was just like, okay, God, thank you for this day. And get my phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
But like, I'm grateful now because that isn't a habit for me to do because it's like, I hear my parents always like, don't touch your phone. But I take delight in that because that's what they taught me. But that was done out of religion. That is now that has transferred into doing it out of love because we do get to have another day. We do get another opportunity. And even the Bible tells us that his mercies are new every morning. Like another day where you can tell the Lord, God, thank you for your new mercies. You know, thank you for this day. Thank you for waking me up. Not many got to wake up. And like, I think that's one of the things that we don't do often or we don't put into practice. Just that heart of gratitude of like starting your day with the Lord.
Yeah.
Just want to share that one too.
It's like you came out of autopilot. Yeah. You came out of autopilot of, okay, I'm having to do this every single day. Literally, I got convicted of that today. Like, I was reading God's word, and I just questioned my devotion time. Mm-hmm. Like, literally questioned. I'm like, why am I even doing this if I feel this urgency or this level of urgency that is coming behind this, and I'm not truly waiting on the Lord, like, waiting for him to speak, waiting for him to tell me, hey, this is what I want you to leave here in this moment with to go on with the rest of your day.
Yeah.
Like, questioning our motives behind everything and our intentions behind everything, because I think what we also normalize, and you're gonna hear me say this like over and over again, is that we do not go deeper with our convictions. Yeah. We remain so surface level. We say, well, God told me to not do this anymore. And so we stop doing it, but we forget to get to the root
mm-hmm.
of why God told you to stop doing it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we can say, well, God told me to stop listening to secular music. Okay. What's the root as to why he told you to stop listening to secular music?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why?
Or what? Even is your goal to find like an alternative like that sounds yeah. exactly like it? Yeah, you know? Like,
and these are the things that we mean when we say it's like, well, is it a sin? Is it not a sin? Is it wrong to do this? Is it wrong to do that? There's a reason why God prompts us to be convicted, to remove certain things from our life, to talk differently, to say things differently. Like, there's a reason as to why he does that. And everyone is different in that sense when it comes to their conviction. But we all have something that is way more deeper rooted, way more deeper rooted than what we could ever understand. Like, for me, a big conviction that God had me in is cursing. Cause I used to curse like a sailor. And, y'all, I'm going to be real honest. Sometimes it comes out a little bit, but I have to recenter myself. And I'm like, yeah. God,
thank you. And I be holding you accountable.
And yes, she does. Hallelujah. Anyways, but God let me know, like, you know, it can't just be something that's like, well, God told me to stop cursing. And then you stop cursing and you forget to go to the root as to why he told you to stop doing that very thing or to leave this very thing.
Yeah, because then it becomes like your goal isn't to find the root and allow God to heal it. Your goal is to see how long you can go without doing
and
it.
And it's never lasting. Yeah. Like,
it's like gritting your teeth all over again, you know?
Like, I can't tell you how long, like, because growing up, I just cursed a lot. It just came out naturally. It was just something that, like, was a part of my day-to-day dialect. Like, I didn't even think anything of it.
Yeah.
But God made me realize that a lot of when I would say stuff, it was all rooted in anger.
Yeah.
And so that's what he wanted to deal with. It started with, yeah, you need to stop cursing because it's ugly and it's ghetto.
Yeah.
But the root of it was anger. The root of it was, oh, because everyone else was cursing. And so it just became familiar.
Yeah.
That was the root. So deal with the root of anger. Don't let it just be something that's surface level that you're not really growing from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is one thing that when God convicts me of something, I'm always having to ask question after question after question and realizing, like, okay, God, you're not afraid of my questions because you want me to get to the source.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you want to pull the weeds out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Also, just want to clarify as well is that our goal here isn't to place our personal convictions onto you, make you feel convicted about it. What we want to do is allow you to see that your personal convictions, I mean, this is not the entire episode in the meaning of it, but like this part specifically, a lot of our personal convictions that we do tend to have, our job isn't to see how long we can go without doing it. Like, there's a healing that needs to happen. There's wounds that the Lord needs to heal. But if we're so focused on seeing, okay, how long am I going to go without, you know?
Without smoking, without drinking, without cursing, without...
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. That, like, isn't the goal here. Like, because I like Pastor Andrew. He says that repentance isn't just turning away from sin, but it's turning to something. Like, you're turning away, turning to something. And that's what... Yeah. That's what it is. That's really what it is. Like, you're convicted of something specifically, and our job is to allow the Lord to heal that, not to do it by our own strength and see how long we can go without it. Like, how long can I stop smoking? How long can I stop?
How long can I hold on to this grudge?
Yeah.
How long can I hold on to unforgiveness?
Yeah. And that's not the goal here. Like, you're to turn to him and see what he says. Like, what does God say about this? Like, Lord, heal this part of my life. I know that I'm struggling with this part of my life. Would you heal this? You know, there's like, for me personally, like, when I was like 18, I honestly didn't think that God was able to heal me from depression. I even said it. I was like, there's no way that God's going to do this. Like, I don't think that God is able to do this. And then, like, I didn't know you like that much, but this is when you prayed over me and things like that. And so, it took time, but I was willing to allow the Lord to change that inside of me. It wasn't me having this perspective of like, okay, you know what? I'm going to be happy now. I'm going to see how long I can go just faking it, you know, just putting a smile on my face. Like, no, that wasn't it. I had moments of isolation. I had moments of like the Lord just allowing me to confront the real thing, like the real thing, the real root of it, like fear of being alone. And then being alone. And I was like, dang, I feel alone. And like the Lord just reminded me, no, you're not. I'm with you. And this is the root of it. Like there's a deeper root to our convictions. And if you're trying so hard to see how long you can go without drinking this cup, like that's not it.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Yeah. And I think a big one too, that we like to normalize. Let's make a counter of how many times we say normalize this episode. we like to see how long we can go when it comes to unforgiveness and when it comes to grace. How long we can go waiting for the other person to say sorry.
Yeah.
Or the other person to step up and do something.
I've been convicted of that so many times.
So many times.
Like we've ranted to each other about this. But it's not me. Like,
but it's not my fault. It was them. They said that. Yeah. And it's just like a nudge from the Lord. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. If you love me, you'll love my people.
Yeah.
And I love this person. And this is the greatest thing about grace that God has shown me, is just a new level of understanding when it comes to encountering situations like this and being, I guess, quote unquote, the bigger person.
Yeah.
is understanding that even for them, it's something deeper rooted. When someone hurts you, it's so much easier to forgive when you realize, oh my gosh, for them, it's something that's deeper rooted too. And also knowing that, hey, we're not perfect either. You know, we struggle with so many things too. We've wronged people too, maybe in ways that we haven't even realized. And so humbling ourselves enough to not walk in to a situation with a heart of pride.
Yeah.
And
that's really what it is.
That's really what it is. Yeah. I don't care. Saying, I don't care, I don't care. Knowing dang well you care. And that's another thing that
we... coming from my throat.
That's another thing we normalize, is walking into situations with a heart of pride.
Yeah. I wanted to point this out. I wasn't going to do it. I don't know why. But I wanted to point out this verse in Proverbs chapter 6, which if you know...
You know.
Yeah. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. The Lord hates 6 things. We're just actually going to go to the point here. The Lord hates 6 things. In fact, 7 are detestable to him. Mm. Arrogant eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet eager to run to evil, a lying witness who gives false testimony, and one who stirs up trouble among brothers.
And I think I've done like every single one of those in my turn.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
Because like even like the arrogant eyes, it's like, oh.
Yeah, like what?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And these are things that the Lord hates. Like, and I think hate is a really strong word. But when you see things in the perspective that this is God, mm-hmm. and he's talking about his children. Like.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to hate, like, arrogant eyes on his children, especially from his children. Like, that's not what we're called to do. And I think, like, we have at some point in our lives, we have to realize that our job, like, there's, like, this is, you know, I don't mean to get here, but we have, our idea of justice is revenge. Like, Gen Z's, mm-hmm. like, definition of justice is revenge.
Revenge bod. I'm just kidding.
And then, like, you know that trend that's like, no revenge because I knew how much they didn't, like... Okay, well, you don't have TikTok.
Oh, yeah, sorry,
it's like
guys.
A trend. It's
I'm
like,
not up to date. But it's, like, cancel culture. That's, like, a form of
revenge. Yeah, I was going to bring that up. But
oh, she was going to say it for later, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, like cancel culture. Cancel culture is like was literally created by Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our, like, for some reason, our idea of justice. And I literally have all this written down in my notebook.
Oh my God. My mind is like being blown right now. Like, actually, like, I'm like,
Oh, you're locked in?
Yeah, like I'm like thinking about cancel culture and I'm thinking about, no, but just continue. I'll say my two cents in a little bit.
Okay. Like, that's not Christ-like. Like, I mean, it's so sad too. Like,
yeah.
An influencer will make one mistake and it's like, oh yeah, they're not famous anymore. Yeah. Like the next day, bro, Gen Z will just like,
they will literally find their address and send the SWAT team to their house. Yes. Like actually.
Or like a person will be so famous one day and it's like something happens and they're just like never known at that point. Like, which is crazy.
It's insane.
Because it's just crazy. But it has created, I'm not saying like, what I'm saying is that has created in somehow, some way, because of that, that is the culture mm-hmm. of Gen Z. We tend to view others that way. Like,
yeah.
Oh, they did this to me. Yeah. So I'm going to be petty. Or they did this to me. Or I'm not going to extend forgiveness. Or they did this to me. I'm not going to extend grace because they did this. And then we call it, oh, that's the boundary I'm placing.
Yeah. Like, bro. It's like, bro,
you're not going to forgive. Like, that's the boundary you're placing, bro.
Boundary. Oh, my
God. You're supposed to forgive. Like,
yeah.
Which is, I don't know. Like, we say this because we've been in this, like, predicaments. We've been in these things. We've been in constant, like, just holding a grudge against a neighbor, which is not biblical. It's not right.
Mm-mm.
And I think, like, one of the things that I've been just, like, looking into or just that the Lord has been speaking to me is that we're his church. We are his children. We are also the church, but we are to build the church. We are to edify the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to read Ephesians chapter 4, where it says, as a prisoner for the Lord, or for chapter 4, verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Like, make every effort
mm-hmm.
to be unified, to keep the peace. Make it your effort. And I think it's in Romans where he says, as far as it depends on you, keep the peace. And then that's when he goes on to say, if your enemy is hungry, you need to feed them.
Yeah.
You tell that you tell that to the world and it's like, what the heck are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Exactly.
But the word still remains the word, regardless of what culture begins to teach us. Oh, this is, you need to cancel them. Or
cancel.
Or you need to keep your peace. Like
keep your peace.
Yeah. You need to just have that boundary and not forgive. That's what we call like our boundary.
I'm just keeping the peace, bro. I'm keeping my peace.
Like, huh? But you still got a grudge against your neighbor.
You're still like, I don't care, I don't care, I don't care. Yes, you do.
Okay, but, so I wanted to finish this.
Okay.
So there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. Wait. Okay, sorry. There's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Like, he's clarifying, we're part of the body of Christ. There is no, this is your side, this is my, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're serving one God. There's one body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one baptism, and we are all part of it.
Yeah.
And what is our job? To keep the peace.
Yeah.
The peace. Not your peace. The peace. Right? And so, the beat. Oh my God. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. So, and then I wanted to go down to verse 12, where it says, well, I'll just read verse 11 too, because it goes with it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son, Jesus Christ, to be mature, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So we are to build his body. Like, and like you said earlier, We know that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. The next is to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is how we build the body.
Mm-hmm.
Edifying the church, loving one another, keeping the peace. Because we are serving one Father, one God. He says there's one faith, one baptism, one hope. Like, that's, we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are not to have grudges against. I think we're just we're just like going back to this specific one. But anyway.
It's literally like God telling his kids to get along. Get along. Be nice to your sister. Be nice to your sister.
But I think so too. It's like we have to understand, like you said, you made a really good point. You said you cannot love your neighbor if you don't love God.
Mm-hmm.
Love can't, you, that's not possible, because the Bible tells us that we love because he first loved us.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability to love because he loves us. And it's not possible for me to love my neighbor if I don't love the Lord. And then the Bible does give us a clear definition of what love is. Mm-hmm. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. And then it goes on to say that love keeps no record of wrong.
Yeah.
How many records of wrong do we keep to other people?
Seriously. Yeah. I was thinking about cancel culture and just how, like, this generation, and I feel like it might have started around COVID time, because we're so used to, individuals, you know, being alone and cast away. And so that feeling, and during the pandemic, that being the worst thing ever, we couldn't see our friends, we couldn't see our family, we had to be alone.
We're so isolated.
God forced us to have a relationship with him. Just kidding, he didn't force. But for me specifically, COVID was a time where God really prompted me to have a relationship with him. But anyways, in this mindset of cancel culture, literally the revenge, quote unquote revenge, is casting people out. And that, I feel like, is the biggest thing, the biggest effect in the church now that we are seeing, is when something happens, when someone icks another person out, when they say something that is wrong, they'll cast them out.
Yeah.
Instead of fully embracing them in grace and acceptance.
Yeah.
Regardless of what they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have been almost like hardwired these last couple of years to cast someone away. Oh, they like even physically. Oh, they coughed by 6 feet. Yeah. Distance, by. And so I think it kind of has hardwired us as a generation, because, I mean, we're the generation that grew up in the pandemic, Gen Alpha as well. But just seeing this happen, like, in our society, in our world, that being the thing, casting someone away.
Yep.
Instead of fully embracing them. Like, y'all, and this is even for y'all germaphobes out there. Yes, okay, be clean. But Jesus was with the lepers.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to talk about something physically, like, actually physically something that you don't want anything to do with these people, whatever. But it's just so crazy. Like, when you were talking about cancel culture, that kind of just, like,
yeah,
made me think about that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really sad, because it's, like, we are known to be, unfortunately, we're known to be the most unchurched generation.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, like, for some reason, we're called the wasted generation as well. Because for many reasons.
We right here. Oh, yeah, have you seen the video?
But it's crazy. I mean, we could go to so many different things, but it's really because we're, like, in a moral dilemma. Like, morality, is when it comes to Gen Z, just has shifted. It's just the opposite, right? There's rights have become wrong, wrongs have become right. And so, like, it's sad, but I think the beautiful thing and the good thing out of this is that the word doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, it's like cliche, like, oh, okay, yeah, the word doesn't change. But in a society where it is constantly changing, everything's just passing us by, like, so quickly. Like, one thing's trending a day, the next thing is, like, boom, whole another thing. This is where we need the word the most. Not saying that in moments that we might not need it, but, like, we need the word every day, every second, every minute, every hour. And I think that one of the things that we also do tend to normalize is like, just, we don't depend on the word like we need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really sad because, I mean, dude, I went to the bookstore like yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. And there's this cool book that it was just like the Book of Psalm. And I was going through it and it just has like beautiful pictures with a psalm. And I went to Psalm 119 because it's like one of my favorite chapters. I mean, there's many chapters in Psalm that I always say is my favorite, but I like a lot of them. Psalm 119 is like the longest chapter in the Bible, regardless if David or Moses wrote it, it doesn't matter. So I'm reading it and I'm like, you know what Psalm 119 talks about? Psalm 119 is like the longest chapter of the Bible, just talking about the law of the Lord and how David is taking so much delight in it. I took a photo of it because it was so nice. But this is what I had underlined when I took the photo. In the psalm, David says, one of the verses, I'm just going to point out different ones. But be good to your servant that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instruction. Don't hide your commands from me. And then I'm just going through different ones. But I will meditate on your decrees. Verse 24, your laws please me. They give me wise advice. Verse 27, help me understand the meaning of your commandments. Verse 31, I cling to your laws. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. I will pursue your commands. For you expand my understanding. This is David, like when you realize that, bro, all David had was the law. Mm-hmm. And depended on it like it was his life. And he took delight in it. Like, he did not have a poor view of the law. Obviously, we don't live under the law. That's not what I'm trying to get here. What I'm wanting us to understand is that all David had was the law, and he took so much delight in it.
Yeah.
Like, his life depended on it.
Yeah.
And we, unfortunately, we live in a society and a generation where, like, the Bible isn't what we depend on. Like, it's the bread of life. It's how we're fueled, not by, yes, God can use pastors, evangelists, prophets, you know, God can use all of them. And that's what he does. But we do not depend on them to give us a word. We have the word. And most of the time, like, it's so common that you hear, like, I don't know, just this, there's a great dependency to hear the word in the church, but there isn't that quiet time with the Lord when it comes to you and him. There isn't that for you. You don't prioritize that as much as you do looking forward to someone preach, you know, like, which is sad. I mean, Francis Chan said it like this. He's like, majority of us today want to, I don't know how he worded it, but he says, how do you say? He says, we go to the mountain to look for Moses when God calls us to the mountain himself now, which is so true. Like, you have the Spirit living inside of you, abiding in you. You don't have to, you know, there's a dependency that is supposed to be in the word.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying that it's bad that you look forward to, you know, to sermons and things like that. But if that is your fuel, like your source,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to last very long.
Yeah, y'all, don't let this podcast be your source. In Jesus' name. That's so good, though. Yeah. I was going to say something and then I forgot. Because I was like, I had to make this joke right now.
I know. I like saw you smiling. I was like, you're thinking about something funny.
Yeah, well, I think a perfect, if you really want to know about loving others and knowing how to do it, Romans 12 is perfect.
Yeah, Romans 12 is so good. Romans
12 is just like,
yeah.
You want to learn how to love other people? Right here. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them.
Yeah, really love them.
Like, don't just pretend.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where it says, be devoted to one another in love and honor one another above yourselves. Yeah. Like, the godly way of living is to lay your life down. Like, yeah. Still. God will deal with people. The Lord is gentle and lowly. He says, vengeance is mine. It's not for us. Like, you'd be surprised how much weight will be lifted off of you when you take it to the Lord and you make a wrong right. It's not just, God, let them come to me so they can ask for forgiveness. Bro.
Yeah.
Be exactly. The bigger person.
And that's the thing, too, that I think we've also normalized is just living a life that is, I don't know how to say this, but like, quote unquote, spirit led.
Yeah.
Not.
But truth-led. Really, it's you're using that to justify.
Yeah, to justify why you're not. Yeah. Well, God told me that I needed to have my peace. What did His word say about that?
Wait, where? Let me find it.
Keep my own peace. Where does it say that? Or follow my heart. Boy, yeah, get up.
We're going to talk about all the phrases that you should not be saying.
But it's the thing that is, like, honestly, it's hilarious to, like, witness. Because, I mean, I used to think that way, too. I was just like, God, please let this person come into my life and do this, that, and the other. And He's like, you know you can go do it, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know that you can go and say sorry, right? Yeah. And I'm like, but that doesn't make any sense. Like, and I think we've just gotten so used to... we've gotten so used to, like, as believers, some not being led by, or just being led by spirit and not by truth. And it's why he's raising up a time of people, of a generation who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Like, they go hand in hand.
Yeah.
It's not just like, please God, like saying all your prayers and expecting Him to just answer them. Like, you are more than equipped enough to carry out the truth that His word says.
Yeah. And also, like, if you don't know, then you do have to read your Bible. Like, mm-hmm. I think some of us think that we're above it. We're not. Like, it still remains, like, dig in your word.
Yeah.
Talk to the Lord. Still, like, you're not above it, bro. Like, God wants to speak to you through His word. It's His favorite way of speaking to His people. And I don't think that will change. This is God speaking to you, actually.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, literally recently, yesterday, I was praying. And I was just, like, in confusion. I was like, God, like, I don't know what to do. Do I? Just a confusing kind of position. Mm-hmm. And I just felt so much conviction of, I was remembering the verse, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Yeah.
Like, I can't beat around the bush. If God already told me, I have to let my yes be yes and my no be no. There is no in between. You know, when it comes down to it, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And that was my conviction. But I wouldn't have known that if I wouldn't have read His word to begin with. You know? And it's in our hearts. It's engraved in our hearts, you know? And the Lord will bring things to remembrance. But at some point, you have to depend on the word. Like, it is the very breath that you breathe. Because it is.
Yeah.
Like, your spirit, your soul will starve if you're constantly depending on a moment.
Yeah.
Or if you're constantly depending on this person to preach this sermon.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
Exactly. And I think it all goes back to what Pastor Andrew said. You know, we're in a generation that craves the hand of God rather than the face of God.
Yep.
And it's why we'll be in the middle of conflict and we'll be like, God, we need a sign. We need a sign. Hello. He's like knocking. He's like, I gave you who I am in this word. I am this word. I gave this to you.
Yeah.
This is all that you need. And I think it's because we've cultivated an atmosphere that knows the God of signs and wonders, but doesn't know who He is as a person.
Yeah.
And that is something that me and Emily long for, is that this generation would truly know who Jesus is who he is as a person.
Yeah.
Like what it really means to have a relationship with him and not just pray to him when you're going through a tough time and expecting him to send you a sign, like a cloud in the sky or something, which he is so beautiful and he'll do it. And I totally believe in the intimate nature of Jesus and God because he will totally do that. He's done that for me mm-hmm. countless times, but he loves for us to seek him in his word because this is literally how he loves to speak to us.
Yeah. So good. I like when people pray. I've only heard two people ever do it. Pastor Andrew and Julie, when they pray, they say, God, if you don't do another thing, you've done enough,
mm-hmm.
which is so beautiful. I love hearing that. And it's just like, so right, you know?
So true.
He's good and he's done so much for us. We have so many things to be grateful for. And if you had the opportunity, which you do, to encourage someone who's maybe stuck, you know, maybe in unforgiveness, maybe holding a grievance against another brother, or just being bold and making the right decision, being obedient, what would that be? That's a question.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Y'all, we are always growing. Are you asking me like right now?
Yeah.
Like to think of a situation?
No, like if somebody is dealing
with... Oh, I thought you were talking about for viewers.
Bro, no.
I'm like, well, I'm just kidding. If someone is experiencing, you know, that in which Emily said, I promise you guys it's as simple as offering yourself to someone.
Mm.
Making yourself available to serve someone else. And I would even challenge them to serve someone that's wronged them.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard, but this is the thing that I want us to understand is that God is the one who puts the boundary lines in pleasant places.
Period.
We do not have to worry.
Psalm 16.
Period. We do not have to worry about what boundary we need to put there. God will tell us and God will make it happen.
Yeah.
Because I think that we forget in the middle of all of this that God has seen how that person has wronged us too. And he's also upset, you know, but this is why he says in his word that I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord.
Yeah.
Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Mm. Y'all, that is the best thing I could ever hear. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good.
Yeah.
Literally do everything with the goodness mm-hmm. of who he is being the source in your heart.
Yeah.
And it makes... Sorry.
Sorry, don't concern. One of the things that Pastor Lou told me, he is like, I think we have to understand that uncomfortableness?
Being uncomfortable?
Yeah. Whatever. Being uncomfortable is not the same thing as not having peace.
Yeah.
Like that, and that's where we kind of get it mixed up.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't have peace with that. You don't have peace with forgiving yourself.
Peace about it. Like you're doing something that you as a person, it's not in your nature to do. That's why you need God. Yes. Do it. Like obviously
it's not
going to
be comfortable.
Like,
yeah.
What is going on, guys? Obviously it's not going to feel comfortable because you're doing something that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
But this is when obedience is better. It's the better thing.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. I think my two cents would be of advice would be, just take a moment to remember who God is and who I am. No, I'm just kidding.
Remember Emily in your prayers tonight, guys. She needs it. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. So, just when you're, I guess, if you're dealing with this kind of thing, which me and her have been there, definitely. Good amount of times. I would say take that time, sit with it. Of course, bring it to the Lord, but also remember that you're supposed to build his body. You're supposed mm-hmm. to build his body.
Yeah.
You're supposed to build his church, expand his kingdom. And in any way you can, do that. You know, like love people, keep the peace, serve others in love. Don't love your life unto death.
Yeah,
you're not supposed to. Like people, you don't know how you can actually be the, well, share the good news to someone
by light.
By being Christ-like. Like, you can spread the gospel by actually loving your neighbor.
Exactly. That's literally what his word says, and how we prove ourselves as believers is the way that we live our life.
Yeah.
And not doing it in a way that's begrudgingly doing it. Taking delight in doing this for others.
Yeah, don't do it like, oh, this is what I have to do.
Well, I have to do this or God's going to kick me out of his kingdom. Like,
no.
That's what I'm saying. Question your intentions. Question your motives. Yeah. Do everything in love, but firstly, because you love God.
Yeah.
Like, don't get the order mixed up. First, love God, and then love his people as you love yourself, which we can go on off into a whole tangent on just that alone.
Yeah.
But loving him first, and because you love him so much, you love his people. Yeah. And it makes it so much easier to love his people when you love him and you see the love that he has for his children.
Yeah.
Like, God, you've loved me, and I'm a horrible person. Like, I was horrible, God, and you loved me. Like, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. When you sit with the Lord and you allow him to speak to you and you're just embracing his grace, his love, his mercy, like, all you can do is see people the same.
Exactly.
Like, God, you love me and you loved me at my lowest. What makes me think I cannot love my neighbor, you know?
Yeah.
I cannot love my mom who I just argued with, you know? Like, no, like, take those moments and don't just wait till that moment is over to be like, oh man, I'm sorry. Which, of course, you can still extend forgiveness and grace in those moments. But as it's happening, like, you're still able to be like, hey, I don't want to have this disagreement with you. I don't want to have this grievance against you. I'm sorry. Like, in the moment, you can still do these things.
Yeah.
And so, like, that would be my call to action. Just be mindful of just the way you love, you know, you're supposed to extend an endless amount of love. So anyway,
okay, I think I have one more thing, and then
okay,
I guess we can close out the episode, because we've been yapping for a long time. I think my call to action would also be to examine your heart, examine yourself. I think I say this every episode, but there's a reason why he says in his word to first love him and love his people as you love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, everything that you're doing to other people is a projection in the way that you love yourself.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't forgive other people, chances are you can't forgive yourself and you hate yourself. Like, honestly.
Mm.
But it's because you don't understand the love of God.
Yeah.
The love that he has for you.
There's so much love he has for you.
Exactly. But if you cannot understand that about yourself, it's going to be hard to love other people.
And it's going
to
affect the church, you know, like the body. Like, you don't want that.
Exactly.
But,
and so, yeah, I would say my call to action is to just continue to ask God to search your heart and to truly know the love that he has for you. Read his word. Start in Romans 12.
Romans 12 is good.
Romans 12 is really good.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay. So, yeah.
So, yeah.
That was a good episode. So, yeah. That was a good episode, but
I think that was our best one yet. Hey.